Blessed is the man whom thou dost choose and cause to approach thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Responsibly, the selection for the day. Let love be without dissimulation, and abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Distributing to the necessity of saints and given to hospitality. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceits. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let us pray together. Wilt thou incline thine ear unto us, O Lord, in mercy, and open our eyes that we may see the truth and know thy will, to the end that we may walk in the paths of righteousness according to thy name's sake. And wilt thou show us again that thou wilt do in thine own good time if we obey thee, all that we have felt and hoped and prayed when we were nearest to thee, and even more than we can ask or dream. Make every one of us to be wise, to put away everything that holds us back from full surrender to thee, and let us walk this day in godliness and in honesty. As thou hast chosen men and women in the past to be thy servants and witnesses to thy truth, and as thou hast blessed our lives by their ministry, wilt thou, Lord, continue to raise up for the work of thy kingdom faithful and able persons who are willing to count it all joy to spend and to be spent for the sake of Christ. Thou who art the strength of the weak, and the refuge of the distressed, and the comforter of the sorrowful, have compassion on all those who are worn with toil this day. Wilt thou bless and support the aged, and protect and bless the young, and wilt thou grant safety to all who travel this day. Comfort those who suffer in body or in mind, and extend thy mercy to all who are oppressed, especially those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Wilt thou deliver the tempted and restore the fallen? And may it please thee this day to order and to rule and to govern our hearts and bodies and thoughts, works and words, according to thy will and thy purpose for us and for all mankind. For we pray humbly but earnestly in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. At the beginning of the month of November, it might be appropriate to remind ourselves of the significance of the month and of some of its days, for one of the days is of special importance in the life of this seminary. The name of the month, November, comes from the Latin, referring to the ninth month of the Roman year, which consisted of only 10 months. But with the introduction of the Julian calendrical arrangement, whereby the year begins with January the 1st and has 12 months, November became the 11th one, with 30 days being assigned to it. The Anglo-Saxons referred to this month either as Wind Month or as Blood Month, taking their cue in the latter case from the practice which they had during this month of slaughtering cattle to be salted for the winter months. In Great Britain, generally, this month is regarded as perhaps the gloomiest period of the year. The 11th day of this month has a double significance. For one thing, it marks the beginning of winter. Also, it marks the day on which the armistice was signed, marking the end of the First World War. For me and for my family, it has a special significance, for it was on the 11th day of November in 1952 when we moved into our home on Vernon Avenue. Perhaps the most significant day of the month for Americans is that of Thanksgiving. It is a time of being with family and with friends to give thanks to God for his bountiful goodness and provision to us. Unfortunately, for many of us, it becomes a time when we overeat and make ourselves quite uncomfortable. In this latter regard, though, it is quite in contrast to a fast which the Muslims observe at Ramadan. From sunup until sundown, they will not eat anything, nor will they drink anything. I asked some of my poverty-stricken Arab friends in the Near East just why they would observe such a fast as this. And I had noticed that every day before the fast began, they had brought to work with them nothing more than two or three little husks of bread, with some seeds of some sort to increase the flow of saliva so they could get the bread down. But in response to my question, they answered, "We observe the fast of Ramadan in order to remind us of the people who do not have anything to eat." It might be appropriate even for us at the forthcoming season of Thanksgiving to be temperate in our eating, and to give thanks to God for his bountiful provision for our needs, and perhaps to remind ourselves of the millions of people on the face of this globe who literally have nothing to eat. There is another day, though, which is important in the life of the church calendar, and that is the first day of November. It is called All Saints' Day, and it is the time when a feast of highest rank is held, a feast which gives place to no other feast in the calendar. This feast was to honor all of the saints, either known or unknown. And according to Urban IV, it was to supply any deficiencies in the faithful celebration of saints' feasts during the year, sort of a catch-all saint celebration. The church, feeling that every martyr ought to be venerated, appointed a common day for all such persons. The first trace that we have of such a celebration was in Antioch on Sunday after Pentecost. Later, St. Ephrem the Syrian and St. John Chrysostom do mention the feast in their writings. At first, it was only the martyrs of the church and St. John the Baptist who were honored by this special day. Other saints, however, were added gradually and then increased in number rapidly when a regular process of canonization was established by the church. In the western arm of the church, it was Boniface IV who is remembered as the one who consecrated the Pantheon in Rome in the 7th century, setting it apart to the Virgin Mary and to all martyrs, and ordering that an anniversary be observed for these saints. Then in the 8th century, Gregory III consecrated a chapel in St. Peter's in Rome to all saints and fixed the anniversary to be observed on the first day of November. Of course, Martin Luther did not approve of this festival, and as a consequence, the Lutheran and Reformed churches today do not observe it. The Church of England, however, with its branches, has retained the feast. As the name implies, All Saints' Day, there was an effort made to honor all departed saints, and it was called originally All Hallows. The ancient church did seek to distinguish, however, between the dead who had died for the church as martyrs and those who died as believers but who had not suffered death for the church. Consequently, November the 1st was the day to remember All Saints who were martyrs, and November the 2nd was All Souls Day for just ordinary dead believers. While most Protestant churches do not follow this particular custom of observing All Saints Day on the first day of November, there are some American churches which take the day as an opportunity to have a service in memory of those who have died during the year. Among many Baptists, this custom has been relegated to the annual associational meeting. It would seem altogether appropriate, perhaps here at Southeastern Seminary, if we would observe this day in our chapel service as one in memory of the saints of this institution who have died during the past 10 years in the life of this school. Of course, we shall want to think of them as saints in some other way than perhaps as martyrs, though one could even be justified, perhaps, in seeing some such connotation as this being placed upon some of these noble souls who literally gave their lives for this institution. For the most part, however, and in every case of the persons to be named, we must think of each one as a person who was set apart and dedicated, a true saint, devoted to Jesus Christ, whether martyr or not. We should like to remember Mr. Joseph Robinson, who served as business manager and as instructor and also as librarian in the early years of the life of Southeastern Seminary. We will want also to remember Dr. Robert T. Daniel, who distinguished himself here as a careful and thorough student and teacher of the Old Testament. Among our students, we will remember S.T. Shaw and Charles William Thornton and Arthur Carroll Culpepper, whose lives and devoted spirits graced the campus and the life of our school. They too were saints, for they had been set apart in dedication to this ministry and to the preparation to be effective witnesses to Jesus Christ. We will want also on this All Saints Day to remember the gracious lives of four of our trustees who were set apart to serve the best interest of this institution in order that it might become a useful instrument in God's hand to train us to serve this generation effectively. These saints are Dr. W.B. Tatum of Arkansas, Dr. Fred Brown of Tennessee, Dr. Phil Elliott and Mr. Walter Williams, both of North Carolina. We remember Mr. Williams especially because of the generous gift of the lovely pipe organ in this sanctuary. Another saint who established a relationship to this school by her own choice and who set herself apart to its ongoing and its enlarging ministry by leaving her property to it at her death was Miss Ruby Reed of this town. And we remember her this day for her part in creating the Ruby Reed Child Care Center on our campus. It was only yesterday that our hearts were saddened, as Dr. Scoggins told of us, the recent death of another saint from our student body of last year, Fanina Nahama of the state of Israel. But as we give thanks to God this day, this All Saints Day, for the lives and the influence of these saints who have already made their contribution to this fellowship, I should like for us to enlarge the concept of All Saints Day and remember the saints who are still with us, namely, each other. For we too have been set apart to this ministry and to this fellowship in preparation. Quite in fun and in a good bit of fellowship, many of us on the faculty refer to each other in terms of endearment by the use of this designation. For example, St. Thomas Bland, or St. John the Elder, not the divine, Steely, or St. John the Younger, Eddins, or, shades of the gospel, St. Mark the Evangelist. The middle initial stands for Hesed. We have entertained some problems, however, in trying appropriately to apply this designation to some of our faculty whose first names do not offer much hope for similarity to biblical names. One professor, in his characteristic humility, realizing his unworthiness in being called a saint, has earnestly requested that we use the diminutive form and refer to him only as Saintette. There is one saint among us on the faculty, though, who merits the designation by any standard of measurement, right name or wrong, and that is the dean of our faculty. And on this day, I should like for us to express gratitude to him for the intelligent, constructive, and devoted leadership which he provides this faculty day by day. Another saint in our midst is one whom we affectionately call the Sage of Shanghai, Dr. J.B. Hipps, missionary in China for so many years and professor emeritus of missions. And what a rich and colorful ministry he has had with us through these years, and how we rejoice that God has given him these 70 years and then some with which to bless our lives. Also, a true saint in our midst is Dr. J.B. Weatherspoon, whose gracious and lovely character evokes from us all the desire to be true sons of God. But today is a special day in the life of this seminary. The chief of saints, who has given his best energy and his incisive judgment and his constructive leadership to the successful achievement of excellence in this school, is President Staley. And wanting to recognize a special group of saints in this student body, namely the seniors, he has arranged for a period of fellowship of these saints in the cafeteria immediately following this service. Through his generosity and his genuine love for the faculty and these students, he has invited the faculty and the graduating seniors for January and for May to set apart this period of fellowship today. In gratitude for God's gift of Dr. Staley to this institution, may we all rejoice in all of the saints who have had a part in the shaping of this institution under his leadership. And may we observe this first day of November of 1961 truly as All Saints' Day. May we pray. Our Father, thou hast been our guide through all these years, and thou hast blessed us richly with a fellowship of the saints beyond description. And we are a part of all those whom we have met, and they have meant much to us. On this day, therefore, let us remember them with gratitude, and let us rejoice that there are many whom thou hast given us who still bless our lives day by day. And in the feverish activity, let us not overlook the fellowship of the saints. Therefore, come thou and bless each one this day who dares to love thee and serve thee, and who dares to be a part of the richness of this fellowship. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.